Welcome to the Anti-Noise Experience, a podcast about my so-called endurance life and random musings. It's Thursday, July 11th, I think, here in Bakersfield, California. Just got done with my morning workout, putting in some kilometers, training for the big one, 6 days in the dome. Coming up, just got done listening to Ultra Runner History, talking about Sandra Brown and her husband. Sandra just recently finished up a 204th 100-mile race. Pretty impressive, and her husband's done quite a few too. She's mainly a walker, and she just crushed a record. She did like a 21-hour 100 the other day at 70 walking. Just phenomenal. To be a centurion to go walk 100 miles in under 24 hours is just something really impressive, and I would love to be able to get faster with my walking, but it is what it is. I haven't even broke 24 running and walking. So just kind of listening to that podcast, I really like it. He digs deep into the history of ultra running. He recently had this, talking about the people who've done 100 hundreds in their career. A couple friends of mine were on that list, Ed Ettinghouse of the Jester and Catcher Corbett. And of course, I've met Davy Crockett too. He had a really good, he did a really good podcast on someone else's podcast where he talked about Kelly Agnew and his running-ins with Kelly over the years. Kelly, the infamous porta-potty bandit, who was cheating in tons of ultra races around the country, and I ran a lot of those races myself. So kind of I highly recommend checking out that Ultra Runner podcast. Today was kind of want to talk about a couple articles I recently read. One's on the 80/20 Endurance website, Matt Fitzgerald. Really love the whole 80/20 concept. If you don't know what it is, I highly recommend you Googling it. But it's basically what all the elite endurance athletes of the world do as training. And I'm talking cyclists, swimmers, runners, walkers. Is 80% of the time should be easy, 20% of the time hard at most. I see way too many people, especially new runners, but even experienced ones who decide to have a goal, like I've been recently talking about. People wanting to crush a Boston qualifier, or break 24 and 100. They just go crazy on the hard stuff. And so instead of like maybe one or two hard workouts a week, they're running hard twice a week. They're in the gym, spin class twice a week hard, cross training cross hard. And, and if you could maybe do that stuff easy, possibly there's some little bit of benefit. But like the Sandra Brown podcast was talking about, just walking is going to be really good. You improve your walking, you're going to really improve your ultra distance racing. And, obviously like with shorter races, marathon and under, the walking's not going to be as beneficial, but there you should be doing the easy running. And I saw a couple articles, like I said, the 80/20, he talks about, 20% of the time. And then there was also an article on Runner's World talking about the titles, Running Easy Makes Hard Running Feel Way Easier, Here's How. And this is by Nike Club Run Club's head coach, Chris Bennett. And it's kind of what I'm always talking about, stay healthy, be boring, not epic in your working out. And they talk about, he says he's been coaching for decades and people say, because you don't sound like you're from New Jersey, but the second most common question is, how do I start running? And that's something, and it's simple. And yes, it's a loaded question. But, it's just kind of, you go out and you just run easy. And an easy run is not a slow run. It's an easy run. And what it means is, you go out and just enjoy it. And it's not a tempo run or long run speed. Easy is not a pace or a distance. Easy is the effort. It is unique to runner and the run. And so I get people all the time going, oh, I can't run easy. I go, well, the Kenyans do, but they're so fast. And that's all relative. And, the purpose of an easy run is just to run. You do an easy run so you can recover for or from a hard run. You do these runs to develop a habit of running consistently and to build strength and endurance. And I often tell people, you got plenty of speed. You guys, often when I'm at races, everybody at the race can beat me in a mile, 5K, 10K. But, everyone has plenty of speed. You just don't have the strength to maintain the speed that you already possess. And so, like, I did that 12-hour walk in Minneapolis a month ago or so, and I was able to throw down 14s walking at the end of a 12-hour race because I had the strength, because I'm out here putting in 100-mile weeks walking. And so, this article kind of says, you know, easy is not a sign of weakness, yet oddly easy is really hard for runners to do. We've been taught that running is supposed to be hard. We've been told that easy running is not real running. We've been conditioned to start our runs too hard, and therefore we experienced too many runs that ended too early because the run was too much, and that left us feeling, well, not too good. And when every run ends with us feeling like failures, we just stop starting runs. And that's completely true. I see it all the time. You know, and you've got to make it so it's enjoyable. That's kind of where I'm gravitating to walking, because the running is just too much difficult, my age and my size. And so this whole article is just saying, you know, just get out and put in the miles. And especially like when you're training for really hard events, you want to just put in the miles and just get stronger and stronger and just enjoy the process. And one last thing here says, quality over quantity. Coach Jerry Schumacher, who coaches a lot of elite runners, said, one of the best ways to measure improvement in your fitness is to see if you can run faster, easy days. But he stressed that higher quality, easy days should not come at expense of recovery. You're not recovering, you're running too hard. One way to approach it, don't set minimum distance or paces for your easy runs. Sometimes a short run at a relaxed pace is what you need to achieve the real purpose of the run. And sometimes no run just happens to be the best run. And that's basically saying you got to learn to, you know, your body. And just basically, you know, as I keep saying, be boring. Just head out the door. My buddy Allison, that's what she does. She just gets up in the morning. You don't feel well the first, you know, half an hour. Just get it out and do it. And then sometimes those become a good run. Or sometimes you just trudge along and get home. But, you know, there's going to be times in your races where you're going to just trudge along and get home. So why not train for that? I think too many people, especially with social media, think everything's supposed to be, as I say, epic. So kind of what I like that article. And then that kind of slides into this whole, the article on 80-20 endurance called The Benefits of a Rust Buster Race. And he states right in the beginning, and I believe this too, he says, many, if not most endurance race athletes race too often. I consider over-racing to be one of the most common and costly forms of self-sabotage in endurance sports. And that's definitely true. I rant about it all the time. It seems like recreational runners or, you know, age group runners race every weekend. I mean, I have people who sometimes come to me to coach and they're wanting to become a better 5K runner and they're racing a 5K every week. And your room for improvement is not a lot in a 5K, especially if you're just racing constantly. And so he kind of brings out that proviso, but he says a rust buster is more, and most people don't do this, it's when you're in a base building block, you know, you're just kind of training, put in the base training, getting ready for a specific event. And so, you know, if you're in an 18-week marathon buildup, you might do a 10K at the end of the sixth week. And you're just kind of doing this just to, and it says like here, he's got, what are the benefits of a rust buster? And it's one, see where you are. And that's good. I often tell people to do that. And it's funny. Most people are very resistant. I've had, in fact, it's kind of interesting. Really good runners hate to run a race unless they're going to go crush it. And that's not the idea. So, you know, if you're, go run a race, see where you're at. Kind of see how your body's doing. Another part he talks about is shock the system. To find success as an endurance athlete, you need to be good at suffering. Some athletes are naturally better than others in this regard. Research has shown that even the toughest athletes aren't equally tough all the time. And so when you're in this you know, training mode, getting out and getting out of your comfort zone, they often have that little graph saying this is when improvement happens, when you get out of your comfort zone. And then also another part about it is you're just day in, day out training. It's nice to, as he says, scratch the itch. One of the reasons so many endurance athletes over race is they love racing. Another benefit of rust buster races is that they provide non-self-sabotaging outlet for competitive hunger. By scratching this particular itch at a relatively early point in the training process, you're likely to be less tempted to disrupt your specific training with ill-timed competitions later. Yeah, so, you know, schedule some races, throw them in as training runs. Like I just did a 5K the other day. Just to kind of get out there and don't have that fear of missing out. One way you also can kind of get over that whole thing is I tell people all the time, crew or pace or volunteer at a race. Then you're out there, you get the camaraderie, but you're not going out there and ruining your training for your big race. And then the last one, which is kind of key too, the post-race bump, says building fitness is seldom a linear process, more often when it's what biologist Stephen Jay Gould called a punctuated equilibrium, where periods of relative stasis are broken up by abrupt leaps forward. It has been my consistent experience, both as an athlete and as a coach, that rust buster rays precipitate forward leaps. This makes sense, right? After all, from the physiological perspective, race is just another workout, only harder, hence a more potent training stimulus. And that's definitely true. I often, especially with my walking, I kind of get into this, you know, just kind of funk where I just don't go really quick. You know, I'm out there, if I'm in the 16s, I'm happy by myself when I'm pushing it. Like yesterday was a marathon pace day. I'm trying to get under 15 and I just can't do it. But then I'll go do like a 5K or a 10K and be floating along at 13s. And so the next few days I can walk way faster in my training than I normally do. So two good articles. One was on the 80/20 endurance.com called The Benefits of Rust Busters. These are linked on my Patreon page. It's Patreon/AnnieNoise, where I link a lot of articles I talk about, and I also put all kinds of coaching information on there. I also post all my podcasts on there, kind of try and organize them with tags. So if you're looking for training tips or looking for race reports or 24-hour race information, you click on that. It'll show you all the podcasts that are available. Really appreciate those who have supported me, and I would love to have some support. Just helps with everything. Several different options here on my Patreon page. You also, if you're listening to this on Anchor, you can be a, you can sponsor the podcast, Annie Noise Experience. I've got a couple people doing that. Really appreciate that. And also I have AnnieNoise.com where I put more news-related articles and whatnot. You can also find me on all the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Strava, all those places. As you can hear that, that's my backyard pool pump going crazy. It's going to be in the high hundreds this weekend. It's supposed to be 108, 109. Bad water starts Monday. It's going to be nice and toasty there. I'll definitely probably talk about bad water in the near future. And I've got a couple people running. It'll be interesting to see how they do. So until next time, stay healthy. Be boring, not epic.